Welcome to the Impact Investing Podcast with your host, Samuel I Can Win, It Can Win. Guys, it is such a great pleasure to be on today's episode. Again, you know, I feel like there's always another energy that just comes when I start these podcast episodes for multiple reasons. I guess first and foremost, there's the excitement of being able to add value to the community of people who follow us along this journey and who listen to the podcast. But side by side with that, I think there's also that added mixed bag of the fact that yesterday was actually my birthday. So I'm recording this episode a day after celebrating my birthday. And guys, you know, yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. It was fantastic to be able to celebrate with my loved ones and with my nearest and dearest, as they say. But one of the things that was really interesting is something that occurred yesterday is actually the reason I said, you know what, I know we're in the middle of the 10 key takeaways from the business bootcamp with Grant Cardone, but I need to jump off piece. I need to just get this episode recorded and shared with the community because there's so much value in what we wanted to talk about today. And in today's episode, we're going to be speaking about the value of money. Okay, yes, you heard it right, the value of money. On the Impact Investing Podcast, this episode is all about the value of money. And the funniest thing is, you might think we're going to be speaking about the value of money from a specific perspective, but what you're going to find is we're actually going to be speaking about the value of money from a slightly different perspective. And I just want everyone who's listening today to effectively fasten their seatbelt and make sure they take away as much value as possible from this episode. Now, to get us kickstarted, I want to start this episode by asking a question. And this question really relates to something I received yesterday. So yesterday, one of the birthday cards I received, for those of you who are watching the video podcast, you can see what I'm talking about. I received this amazing card. This card was so beautiful. It was in one of my favorite colors, gold, with a nice little picture of a whole bunch of chocolate on this cupcake. I'm not really too much into chocolate cupcakes, partly because my wife has a dairy intolerance. So as a direct result, we reduce our chocolate, or, you know, our dairy chocolate based content radically. But the card was beautiful, okay? And those of you watching on the video podcast, you can let me know if I'm right. The card was beautiful. And this was from a neighbor, actually, which was quite interesting, one of my neighbors. So they gave us this card. And inside this card, I knew there was something in the card, but I didn't know what it was. And then two notes dropped out. And these two notes effectively became the foundational premise for why we're actually doing this episode, slap bang in the middle of the 10 key takeaways from the 10X Business Bootcamp. We're adding value through means of this episode. And we're going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to add value to the community because we want to make sure that we are actually sharing at the level that we want to share and not just constraining ourselves to a plan that maybe we had initially or some time ago, for those of you who've been following the journey and understand what I'm talking about. So let me jump straight in. For those of you on the video podcast, you're going to be able to see this straight away. For those of you who are listening, you won't be able to, but we'll find a way maybe, you know, to get a picture of this linked up to wherever the podcast is so you guys can hopefully see it. These are the things which make me think we should have a blog that goes along with our podcast for people to get even more value. But maybe on one of the YouTube videos that we do, we'll basically put the pictures of this or the video of this up as well. The hashtag, those of you who are not following us on YouTube, jump onto YouTube, search Impact Properties London and subscribe to our channel. You know, become a part of our channel and our following and our subscribership over there, because again, the content we put out on YouTube is different to the content that we put out on the podcast, and there's a lot of value on our YouTube channel already, and we have a lot of great plans to add even more value. Now, without further ado, without, you know, prolonging it anymore, let me jump straight in and show you what this was. So this was one of the gifts I received yesterday, okay? And if we can get some focus on this, you can see what this is. This is effectively, it's a gold 50 pound note, okay, a gold 50 pound note, which I think is absolutely extremely creative, okay, and you know, everybody who knows me in terms of my property investment endeavors knows that my whole thing is creativity. It's always been creativity. When I got into property, I had to get into property using a creative mentality and a creative mindset, because I didn't feel as though I had the resources other people in the industry had. I didn't feel as though I had, you know, buckets of cash, or I didn't feel as though I had buckets of contacts. But one thing I knew I had was a very good head on my shoulders, and I knew I could use my creativity. So I think this is phenomenally creative. Now, why am I showing you this, and how does this gift, you know, one of the gifts I received on my birthday yesterday, become so relevant, so poignant in terms of us actually having to jump on and make sure we had an episode, you know, created and recorded for you guys? And I'm going to go into it right now. Like, it's quite simple. Okay. And obviously, because the episode is called The Value of Money, hopefully you guys are already starting to see it before I go into it. But I'm going to start with a question, like I said. So here's the question. Which would you prefer? It's a simple question. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer this, or would you prefer a £50 note? Okay. Now, obviously, this is a £50 note. It's a gold £50 note. But my question is, which would you prefer? Would you prefer this, or would you prefer a £50 note? No. Now, for those of you who are watching the video podcast, again, feel free to just write your answer in the comments. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, you know, let us know, or at least say it out loud wherever you are, whether you're jogging, you know, wherever you are in the world. If you're in the US, if you're in Australia, if you're in the UK, you know, if you're listening to this whatever you're doing, if you're having dinner, listen to this, breakfast, listening to this. I really want you to answer the question. Okay, and again, you don't have to let us know your answer, but let us know, would you prefer a golden £50 note or a £50 note, a traditional £15 note? Now, if you're in the US, if you're one of our US listeners, I know we've got a large listenership in the US. If you're one of our US listeners, you know, this was another thing that came in the same card. You know, it's a gold $100 bill. So I guess I'd ask you the same question, because some of the people in the US who are listening to this, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't want a gold £50 note, because what am I going to use that for? That currency is not my native currency. It's not the currency I use. But again, you know, we were given yesterday also a gold $100 bill. And those of you on the video podcast can see this and see how it looks. You can see the gold $100 bill. Okay, so my question to you, wherever you are in the world, is which would you prefer? Would you prefer a gold £50 note or a £50 note? Or on the other side, would you prefer a gold $100 bill or a $100 bill? Now, the reason I ask you that question, regardless of your answer, and again, you know, I say this to a lot of the students I coach in property investment and people I just teach generally, you know, there is no wrong answer, okay? Your answer is your answer. That's not necessarily a right or a wrong answer. But what's important about this, and why when I received these two notes inside of this particular birthday card yesterday, this was really instrumental, significant, and led me to say to the team, look, we've got to do an episode today in light of this, is because of one simple thing. It's because receiving these notes made me ask myself the exact same question I've just asked to you guys. Which would I prefer? And the reason that question came out is because I was challenged by not necessarily knowing or understanding the value of what I had received. You know, in my head, I was thinking to myself, have I received two gold-plated notes? I was asking myself, have I received two actual bullion gold notes, which are made in the fashion of a £50 note and or a $100 bill? I was asking myself, you know, is this really gold? You know, at one point, my wife actually said she thinks it might be chocolate, because a gift we were given with this was some chocolate from Hotel Chocolat. Those of you who know Hotel Chocolat as a brand, you will know. So my wife said, is it chocolate? You know, and you know, she smelled it to find out whether it's edible. Okay. And it wasn't chocolate. It isn't chocolate. But because these questions were, you know, being juggled in my mind, what is the value of these notes? Are these notes actually more valuable than the notes they are presenting, depicting themselves as, or are they less valuable? Okay. And the reason I want to share this with those who are connected with us on our podcast is for one very simple reason. And it's the title of the podcast today. It's because of the value of money. Now, what I want to share with you guys to give you some real insight into this is how I first started to understand my own precepts and concepts about the value of money. And for me, that started when I was around 18, 19 years old. When I was 18, 19 years old, you know, I was just coming out, I was transitioning out of a lifestyle of crime. So a lifestyle of criminality, if I put it that way. So when I grew up at the age of 11, you know, I got into the wrong things because of my massive ambition that I had and my lack of understanding and lack of formal training in terms of understanding how I could achieve such massive ambition, you know, coming from where I was coming from, living where I was living, growing up where I grew up, etc., etc. And because of that, I got into a lot of the wrong things with a number of the wrong people. And it wasn't until I was 18, 19 that I started a transitional journey. I started to kind of change from who I was into who, you know, the embryonic stage or the beginning of who I actually am today. And what's really funny is, you know, like I said, those ambitions I had were absolutely massive, okay, at the age of 11, which I've spoken about on different episodes. But at the age of 18, 19, which is probably even more relevant, roughly that 18, 19 year old Samuel I Can Win, I had some different insights at that stage. I had some different interests. I had some different things that I was looking at trying to achieve that were inspiring me at that age. And one of the things I started to realize was all of the trappings of doing the wrong thing, all of the things that I may have thought were benefits of living in criminality. I started to realize at the age of 18, 19, that those things were nothing compared to what I really actually wanted. Now, when I say really actually wanted, what am I talking about? Let me start going into it for you to have an understanding. I started realizing at the age of 18, 19, that I wanted to have a happy family. Now, for many people, you know, yet that's an ambiguous term. You might not understand what that term means to me, but that doesn't matter. What matters is whatever it means to you and how it makes you feel is probably how it made me feel. And that's what's important for you to start to resonate how I felt at the age of 18, 19, when I started to understand and started to realize that I wanted to have a happy family. Now, I wanted to not only have a happy family, I also wanted to not be afraid. I didn't want to live in fear. Now, what does that mean, live in fear? You know, when you're 11, 12, 13 years old and you do the wrong thing, you are breaking the law, you might not have a clear understanding of what you know, what fear is. And the reason why is because, you know, if you're arrested at the age of 11, there's only so much you have as reference points to relate that experience to and to say to yourself that, you know what, I don't want to go through this experience. I'm afraid of this experience. This experience is not good for me, for example. But at the age of 18, 19, I had matured a bit more. I had a lot more of experiences. So as a result, I had a lot more reference points where I could say to myself, well, hold on a minute. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live in the fear of police, you know, breaking into my house in order to search my premises or arresting me at an unseeming hour of the day. And these were the things I started to understand at the age of 18, 19. And effectively, you know, those were my new hopes at the age of 18, 19. My new hopes, my new intentions were to be able to have a happy family, to be able to live a life without fear, not looking over your shoulder every day, thinking, you know, who have you wronged? How have you wronged them? And how are the authorities going to apprehend you as a result? And, you know, the issue for me at that age of 18, 19 is I had a challenge, and the challenge effectively was understanding that those hopes could actually be achieved for myself. And you've got to bear this in mind. Prior to the age of 18, 19, I had no reference points to necessarily happy families, if I put that as an example. I had no real tangible reference points to, you know, living a life without fear. You know, the friends I had chosen to befriend prior to that age, you know, were living lives of fear. Again, they may not have thought they were living afraid, but you know, they were mindful that they could be arrested at any time if they continued doing what they were doing. And at the same time, you know, a lot of the people I was around at that time were young people. They were young people, you know, they had not reached their 30s, you know, etc., etc. So their reference points were fairly slim and fairly minimal as well. So these were some of the challenges that I was facing, having these intentions to have a happy family, having these intentions to actually, you know, live my best life with the people I wanted to and to achieve what I wanted to achieve. And despite those challenges, what really helped me wake up, there was a number of things, but for the sake of this episode and keeping this episode on track, one of the key instrumental things that helped me wake up at the age of 18, 19 to the change that I was trying to make, despite the barrier of having, you know, not necessarily many reference points was when I had a light bulb moment around the concept of the value of money. Okay. And what do I mean when I said I had a light bulb moment around the concept of the value of money? Well, very simply, what I mean is this. I started to realize at the age of 18, 19, that when I was younger, when I was 11, 12, 13, 14, when I had certain resources, let's just use the term money, when I had, you know, certain amounts of money around me, I still didn't end up with the trappings that I actually desired. Okay. So again, you know, I was not necessarily having happy relationships as a byproduct of having money around me. Okay. Equally. And again, you know, you might say, oh, Samuel, you was only 11, 12, 13. You know, what do you know about relationships and money? One thing I did know at 18, 19, looking back retrospectively at my 11, 12, 13 year old self, was that the relationships around me were not productive nor successful relationships, even though, in spite of the fact that I had more money than most 11, 12, and 13 year olds. So that for me was an indication that money cannot buy successful relationships. Now, let me go deeper. You know, I didn't have this realization at that stage of life, but I'll share this other realization that I have with you today. You know, money cannot buy health. Okay. There are hundreds of thousands of people. I can give you stories without sharing people's names because, you know, some of this stuff is, you know, I guess fairly confidential. These are people who I know in my circle who have confided in me about these things. But there are people I know who, for example, between them, husband and wife, can't have children. They've tried, and they can't have children. And they've gone to specialists, they've gone to doctors, they've flown to other countries, and they've just been told it's impossible, it won't happen for them. Now, I'm a strong believer, probably because I'm an avid reader of the Bible, that nothing is impossible for God. I believe that. And you might be listening to this and be a person who believes that as well. If you're not a person who believes that, then again, you know, maybe you don't believe that. But the reality is, although I believe that nothing is impossible with God's support, with God's help for God, you know, for some people, things are impossible because they are not tapping into the resource or the source which can help them to change the impossibilities to the impossible, the impossible to the impossible. Now, the reason I'm sharing all this is because I want you to understand where I was at when I started to realize. And one of the key things I've realized today, money can't buy health. Money can't buy babies. Now, yes, people can adopt, okay? And some people do adopt just to prove a point, okay? Which I'm, again, those of you who are listeners to this podcast are probably very, very knowledgeable that I'm not into any crass or unethical things such as that. But I know people do it. You know, we live in a weird and interesting world today where things like that happen. Out of pride, people decide to do the craziest of things. But to keep to the point, the reality is money cannot buy you health. Money can support you in your journey to improve your health, but money can't buy you health. You cannot go to any shop, put money on the counter and say, I'd like to be 10 times healthier, 5 times healthier, 4 times healthier. Money can't buy you health. And side by side with that, like I've said already, money can't buy you successful relationships, which I think is extremely important. Please, please, please remember that. Money cannot buy you successful relationships. And one thing money can't buy you also, which people are very, I think, very oblivious to in our modern society, is money cannot buy you wealth. Now, when I say wealth, most people associate wealth with money, but I do not associate wealth with money. I do appreciate that money may be a construct in the true definition of wealth, but wealth and money are two different things. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because this episode is all about the value of money. And I want you to understand, when I had that light bulb moment at 18, 19, and I started to realize that all of the money I had as a young person couldn't buy me successful relationships, what it actually did for me is it put me on a path where I stopped seeking and searching for relationships as a byproduct of how much money I had. Okay, now some of you listening to this, this is going to be the light bulb moment for you. For some of you listening to this, this is going to be the wake up call for you. You're going to realize, wow, Samuel, you're right. You know, I've been thinking the more money I have, the more access I'll get to specific people in order to have specific relationships. And I'm here to tell you today, to the impact investing community, successful relationships are not a byproduct of money. Okay? Now, some people might disagree with that, and that's okay. All right? As you do a deeper analysis, you will soon come to find that I was right. Successful relationships are not a byproduct of money. Okay? Now, relationships being a byproduct of money might be something different. And I'll give an example. When I was around 14 years old, and people in my area started to learn that I had some money, people started to befriend me. You know, people started to come out of the woodwork, as they say, and started to want to be my friend. And at the time, I was none the wiser. I didn't understand that that was a byproduct of the fact that they had heard I had money. But again, looking back retrospectively at the age of 18 and 19, I started to realize that those people were not coming because of the content of my character. They were coming because of potentially the content of my wallet. Okay, now this is important to understand. And why is it important? It's important to understand because it will help you forge a path, a successful path, an appropriate path towards the right direction if you want that in your life. And for those of you who are part of the impact investing community, I want you to be the people that are forging the right path in your life, in your investment predominantly, which is why we have this podcast and why we have this platform. But most importantly, not only in your investments, because if you have all the greatest investments in the world and you are not happy, you are not having successful relationships, you are not healthy, and you are not truly abundantly wealthy, then all of those investments mean nothing. All of the property you can do, if you can't see through what's really going on in your life, means nothing. And this was one of the reasons why it was a burning desire for me to say, look, this revelation, this insight that I got, this reminder I got of the value of money is important enough for us to break up our 10 key takeaways on the 10x Business Bootcamp and just jump in and give you guys some more value through means of this episode. So like I was saying, guys, I want you to be mindful of that, okay? The value of money is not what most people think it is. It's not just about having money. It's not just about having money. What is the value of money really about? Let me break it down for you. Just as I started to realize at the age of 18, 19, that the value of the money I had was not able to produce successful relationships, was not able to produce health, okay, was not able to produce true wealth, I then equally and also started to understand that I had to change what I was doing in order to achieve what I really wanted in life, that happy family, that life without fear. I had to change what I was actually doing. Input changes have an effect for output changes. You don't change the input. If the machine's the same, you will get the same output. And these were some of the things that were part of my light bulb moment, which caused me to say, okay, Samuel, how are you going to change this? So I decided to change this in one very, very simple way, which I'll share with you guys. I started saying to myself, Samuel, stop seeking the currency, okay, and start seeking what you're actually desiring. So for some of you who've heard, you know, some of our previous episodes, you might have heard the episode where I was speaking about at the age of 11, one of my goals was to drive a Lamborghini, to own my own Lamborghini at the age of 21. I wanted to buy myself a Lamborghini for my 21st birthday. Now, you know, those of you who have heard that episode, spoiler alert, but I didn't achieve that. Okay, I didn't achieve that. I didn't end up buying myself a Lamborghini on my 21st birthday. And I'm quite grateful I didn't, because the means at the age of 11 that I was working towards being able to do that was not the right means. It was wrong. So I'm very, very grateful that I was able to change my life out of that path and into the more appropriate path, the path that is more beneficial and valuable to our communities and societies, and it's all about sharing rather than taking. But the reason I share that with you guys is because that materialistic goal, okay, of being able to purchase a particular car within a particular time for myself, okay, was a goal I had, which when I had that goal, one of the things I realized is I never focused on the object. I always focused on the money. And this is how it led me down that path at the age of 11 to do the wrong thing. And guys, I want to say this to you because you might be doing the same thing. You might be right now working a plan that doesn't work. Okay. And I'm not saying this to belittle you. I'm just saying it to you because this is something I realized. You might be working a 9-to-5, a JOB, as many people call a just over broke, focused on the money rather than focused on the objective, rather than focused on the goal, rather than focused on the truth of what you're trying to achieve. Now, the reason I want to share this with you is because when that shifted for me, when I started creating a new plan, a new agenda, a new way of doing things, and when I said to myself, this new way is going to be me focused on what I want. So for example, I shared with you guys, happy family. Many of you who have met me before may have heard me say this statement. I say many a times, happy wife, happy life. Why do I say happy wife, happy life? Because one of my goals is to have a happy family, as I shared earlier. So I know if I can help my wife be happy, I can help my life be happy. How do I know that? Because I stopped focusing on money. Okay, and even to the degree when I was working a full-time job and my wife was working a full-time job, because my focus was on having a happy relationship, on having a successful relationship, on having a happy life, and my focus wasn't on my salary and my paycheck, I was able to start achieving that goal. Okay, and not only that goal, but so many other goals. Now, look, guys, I want to say this to you because I want you to understand this. Like, no, it wasn't and it isn't just all happy-go-lucky, happy ever after. It doesn't work like that, okay? And this is just me being transparent, guys. It doesn't work like that. It did start with the right plan, Samuel, you know, focus on the right thing. And for me, the right thing was the object, not the money. Okay, because I can assure you, and you may be listening to this, you may be watching this, and you may have been a person who's experienced exactly what I'm about to share. You may have wanted something in your life and ended up receiving that thing without paying for it. Okay, this has happened to me quite recently. I was given a car which I actually had on my vision board prior. I was given the car. Now, guys, I want you to understand what this actually means, what I'm actually trying to say to you. The problem is when we focus so much on money, sometimes we fail to understand the true value of the money. The money is only as valuable as someone is willing to exchange something else for it. That's the full value of money. The full value of any amount of money you have is only as valuable as what someone is willing to exchange for it. And I want to assure you of something for those of you who want to get even more value out of being on this episode. I want to assure you that there are people out there who are willing to exchange, willing to trade some of the things that you have on your vision board, some of the things that in your wildest dreams you wish you would never be able to receive or achieve. There are people out there willing to trade and exchange those things for things you have right now, which have got nothing to do with your bank balance, which have got nothing to do with the amount of properties you own, which have got nothing to do with the amount of properties you control, which has got nothing to do with how invested you are in this world. How do I know that? I know that because of the example I gave you guys earlier. How do I end up with a car that was on one of my vision boards without paying for it? I end up with that because there are people out there who are willing to trade and exchange things for something money can't even buy. For gifts, for talents, for resources that you have right now that money cannot, will not, and will never, ever be able to even buy. So what I want to leave you guys with on today's episode is just a reassurance, okay? A strong reassurance that if you've got goals, if you've got things you're trying to achieve, yes, we invest to make that happen. We invest, but I don't want you to just invest. I want you to invest with impact. And that's why we have the Impact Investing podcast. I want you to invest with impact. I want your investments to be in areas which are so important to you. I want your investments to be in areas which are so important to you that you focus on them as an object rather than on just the inanimate concept of money. Guys, you can do this. You can definitely do this. And not only can you do this, but you can also reap the rewards of doing this. This is your host, Samuel I Can Win. I'm signing out from the Impact Investing Podcast. It's absolutely been fantastic to jump on this episode with you guys. And I really do hope that from this episode, you have a new take on the value of money. And if you have got value from this podcast, what I want to encourage you to do is share this episode with 3 people. Okay, go share it with someone who you know needs to listen to it. Go share it with someone who potentially came to your mind whilst you was listening to this episode, and go share it with someone who you've wanted to give something but have not known what to give them. This is Samuel I Can Win. I'm signing out. Have a great day and happy investing.